State your name and prison number.
John Newton, Folsom 3375-4.
State your age.
27.
Charges on which you were convicted.
Harboring a criminal, practicing medicine unlicensed. Manslaughter.
Sentence now being served.
10 years. I've served 2 years and 3 months. I'm therefore up for parole.
Up for parole. Tonight, transcribed in New York, the first in an exciting new crime series, based on authentic cases actually heard by parole boards in your state prisons, and reenacted here for the first time. Now, Harry Marvel.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to sit in judgment on another human being's freedom, to decide whether he or she shall become your neighbor, your employee, perhaps your friend, or remain where you, society, have put him, behind prison bars. For that human being is a social offender, a criminal, now up for parole. Remember, at the close of tonight's broadcast, you can compare your own judgment with the official decision of an actual parole board, in this particular case, California's. I ask you, therefore, to listen carefully and consider seriously the story you are about to hear. Told from the official case records of John Newton, Folsom Prison Number 3375-4, now pleading before the parole board and before you for his freedom.
You have the facts of my crime and my conviction and my prison record, but there's more to my story than the legal record as you read it. The very fact that the criminal I harbored was my own brother, Joseph Newton, is... Well, gentlemen, with your permission, I'd like to tell you the whole story.
You may proceed, Newton.
Thank you. I'm up for parole here, not my brother, but his story is part of mine. You see, even when we were kids back home, people used to say, you never know they were brothers. So different. And by the time we were grown up, well, take the very night of my crime. I was only 2 days away from receiving my medical license. I just finished my internship. Joe was an outcast, disowned as an ex-convict. I'd like to start with that night, gentlemen. We were giving one of the biggest parties the town had ever seen. And for me, it was a double celebration. For one reason, in 2 days, I'd hang up my shingle under my dad's downtown. And for another, I'd just been engaged to a wonderful girl. Well, we never did get married, and her name doesn't appear in the record. But it was a great occasion. Everybody was congratulating me, and it was all I could do to get a moment alone with my fiancée.
Oh, darling, it's a wonderful party. I'm so proud of you.
Well, just as long as you're happy, honey. But I... See, I wish they'd knock off and go home.
What's the matter, John?
Oh, nothing.
You keep looking around as though you were expecting somebody.
Well, what makes you say that? What do you mean?
Johnny, that's a funny way to talk to me. What's the matter? Oh, your brother. That's it, isn't it?
Yes, my no good brother. Heaven knows where he is now. You know, it'd be just like him to come busting in here after all these years. What are you looking at me like that for?
I never heard you talk like that before. I know how you feel about your brother, but...
Well, how do you feel about it?
About what?
About having a jailbird for a brother-in-law.
John Newton, listen to me. I'm marrying you, not your brother Joe. Forget him. And stop looking around, Johnny. He's not coming. Forget him. Forget everything but us.
All right, honey. I'm sorry. Oh, just a minute. The housekeeper's looking for me. I'll be back in a second, honey.
Right. Save me some champagne.
Hey, swell party, Johnny. Where's your dad?
Well, you know how doctors are, fella. I'm out on an emergency. Excuse me a second, will you?
Okay.
What is it, brother?
Mr. John.
Yeah, what's the matter, Bertha?
Mr. John, there's a man at the back door asking for the doctor.
All right, Bertha, I'll take care of it. You wait here.
You the doctor?
Oh, I'm sorry. My father's a doctor. He's on the case right now.
Right, he tells me you're a doc, too.
I will be in 2 days. What can I...
Well, are you, aren't you, bud?
I finished med school, but I can't practice until I get my state license.
Well, that's good enough. Come on. We're going for a ride.
What? What Say, what is this?
It's an emergency, bud. Come on.
Oh, I told you, I'm not a doctor. You'll have
okay, to... Okay, you might as well know. It's your kid brother.
Joe. Now what? Where is he?
He's downtown in your old man's office. Well, you coming?
Is he hurt?
Why do you think I came after a doctor?
All right. Let's go. The minute we started down the drive, I knew I shouldn't have come. Joe always meant trouble, but an emergency was an emergency. Wheeling out the driveway, we scraped my dad's favorite tree. And thinking as I was of Joe, that started me remembering the time he ran the lawnmower into that very same tree. The time he smashed the glass case over Dad's microscope. And the time he got caught taking home some chemicals from the high school chem lab, and we both got a lecture from the principal.
Just a minute, Newton.
Sir?
About that affair in high school, the chemicals.
Yes, sir?
According to the district attorney's abstract here, an interview with the principal, you had persuaded your brother to steal the chemicals for you so you could do some experiments at home. Is that true?
Well, yes.
Proceed with your story.
Yes, sir. We tore out the drive and on through town, and I couldn't get a word out of the driver, so I kept thinking about Joe. Joe, always the bad boy. And myself, Dad's boy, Mama's boy. I could almost hear my dad saying,
John, your mother and I just can't do a thing with Joe. Heaven only knows how he'll turn out. I guess we'll all have to pin our hopes on you, John.
Yeah, I was their boy. I went through high school, correction school for Joe. College for me and a new convertible. For Joe, a stolen car in the reformatory. Med school for me, a state pen for Joe. A gentleman of the board, my own brother had a number in this prison before I even started out that night on the ride that was to lead me to my own cell here. And that's why I say that his story is part of mine, because traveling those streets that night, I realized for the first time that maybe it was the raw deal that he got from my father and my mother that made Joe the bad one. Now, in the middle of the night, he turns up again in my father's office in trouble.
Pull around the back here, just in case.
In case what?
The law. Look, am I going to have trouble with you?
Well, what's the law got to do with...
The kid wants to tell you that's okay by me. There's no time to ask any questions. Come on. Look, Doc, are you with us or not?
How'd you get in there without a key?
Jimmy, the door. Pull the shades down so we can turn on the light. Joe? Joey, boy.
I'm still here.
I brought the doc, Joe.
Dad?
No, it's me, Joe.
Johnny, you...
Well, look who's out late. Mama's boy.
Can't you do something, Doc?
Doc, you made it. A medic. What do you know?
All I know is that you're hurt. What is it, Joe, an accident?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's have a look. Yeah, take your hands away from your chest. That's better. Hey, you.
Me?
Hand me that scissors.
Yeah, sure.
Joe. Bullet wounds.
Yeah, we were playing soldier. What'd you expect? Mosquito bites?
Up, Joey, save your strength, boy. Doc, you gonna take him out?
I'll give him a shot to ease the pain.
But you'll take the slugs out.
You're in my light.
I'm asking you a question.
Uh, That'll let up on it, Joe.
I said, are you going to work on them slugs? Answer me!
Look, Joe. Listen to me. I'm not a doctor yet. Not legally. 2 more days and I'll have my degree and then my license. But if I work on you now...
What do you mean now? Shut up, French.
Look, Joe, it's this way. If I operate on you, I'll be breaking the law. The bullet wounds, Joe. I have to report them to the police anyway. Can't you see, Joe? I'm in a spot.
I told you, Joey. I told you we shouldn't have come.
Joe, what did you have to turn up for anyway?
Where else could I go? Where could I... I hate the guts of you. The whole bunch of you. But where else could I go?
Joe, please, try to understand me.
You rotten family. You never give me a break. Johnny, it hurts. Your brother lying there begging you, you two-bit phony, do something.
All right. Lock the door and then go wash your hands. I'll need your help.
Well, me? I can't.
You shut up and do as I say. Joe, now listen to me.
Yeah, Johnny, yeah.
Joe, I can't use an anesthetic. I can't handle 2 things at once. It'll hurt, Joe.
All right, Johnny.
You ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Now hand me that scalpel.
What?
Scalpel, that knife. Well, I sterilized the instruments, and then I went to work. My brother gripped the sides of the table. I was a surgeon, and he was my first patient. I started to get sick, but I had to put everything out of my mind, except I had a life to save. And...
Wait, Newton.
Yes, sir?
There's a question I'd like to ask at this point.
Yes, sir?
While you were in the process of removing those bullets from your brother, you realized that you were breaking the law.
Yes, sir, but he was my kid brother. I turned him over to the police. You see, I wanted to be fair.
You wanted to be fair. Well, now I think we're getting to the point. Earlier in this hearing, you described your brother as a no-good. Someone you were ashamed of. Now you're talking as if you're sorry for him. You've definitely changed your story. Are you trying to draw sympathy from this board?
No, sir, but... If I could say something...
Now, wait, Newton. You also knew at the time how your brother got those bullets.
Oh, yes, sir. It was a bank holdup. A guard surprised them.
And you also knew at the time?
Yes, sir. The guard was killed. But it wouldn't have made any difference, sir. Why, he looked like a little kid. Lying there. And I was going to do my level best to make up for him. For the way my father and my mother treated him as a kid.
Now, just a minute, Newton. Before you go on, we have your complete case history here, which, you know, we've looked over very carefully. Weren't you the one who usually got your brother into some of the scrapes and trouble he had? You were the oldest. Shouldn't you have helped him?
Well, when he was a kid, what could I do with him? You don't know him. Why, he's...
Isn't the real reason you helped your brother that night because you felt guilty? Or perhaps you felt at least partly responsible for the way he turned out?
Yes, I guess it was.
All right. Well, go on. What happened after you removed the bullet?
Oh, it was plenty tough on the kid. On me, too. But we managed to get through it as best we could. I cleaned out the wounds. I used sulfur, and I bandaged them as well as I could.
Is it over?
Yes, Joe. It's all over. We'll take a couple of minutes, and then we'll take off.
Where?
A friend of mine's got a cabin up in the woods. I'll lead you there in my car, and you can hide out until that wound's better.
I gotta get up, Johnny. I gotta hide out.
Giorgio, I know. Don't worry.
Don't worry, huh? How do we know it's okay?
What kind of a rat do you think I am?
Doc, I don't know. But you better not remember anything about anything. You get it?
Thank you.
party at our house was still going on, but I backed out my convertible without disturbing anybody. I led them back into the hills to my friend's summer shack. I repaired a couple of stitches on Joe's chest, warned him not to move, and then promised to come back in the morning. And then...
You promised to come back? Now, why?
Well, in a medical capacity, sir. Post-operative treatment, perhaps hypo, change the drains.
I see.
Shall I go on, sir?
Yes, you may continue. What did you do then?
I drove home, sir.
Directly?
Yes, sir.
I have a map before me of the route you took from the mountains.
Yes, sir.
Your road passes the state police barracks. Now, it seems to me
that
you...
Oh, yes, sir. I passed the barracks, and then I turned back. I intended to report the whole thing to the police.
The DA's transcript states that you declared, and I quote, "I drove straight home without stopping or turning," end of quote. Did you say that?
Oh, yes, sir, but may I explain, sir?
Yes.
You see, sir, I intended to stop at the police barracks. Oh, in fact, I could have reported it at that time and kept myself in the clear.
But you didn't?
No.
Because you couldn't face your father after he knew what you had done. Is that it?
Yes. I knew it would kill him. So, I went straight home. The house was dark, but there was a light coming from under my father's study door. And as I passed it...
Son?
Yes, Dan?
Well, that's fine. I hoped I'd get to see you tonight, but I thought you'd be long abed.
Well, did you just get in, Dan?
Yes, I... Tough case, but... Come in, son. Come in. Shut the door. Don't want to wake Mother. Yes, a doctor's life. Fine night they picked for an emergency peritonitis. Oh, sit down, son. Sit down. Cigar?
No, thanks, Dad. I'm all smoked out.
Quite a night, huh?
Yes. Dad, was there anything special you...
No, nothing special, son, except, well, this'll be our last little talk before you get your license. And then your shingle goes up under mine. John Newton, Jr., M.D. Gonna look mighty fine, son. John, I'm proud of you. Really proud of you, boy.
Dad...
You know, it's all up to you. I mean, your mother and I, we have all our hopes in you, you know that. Sometimes I... wonder about Joseph.
Dad, I...
Yeah, I've been long since give up figuring it out. The way he... No, there's no use talking about it. It's just up to you, son. Your mother and I, we sometimes go so far as to say we have only one son, really.
Dad, if you don't mind, I'm terribly tired.
Oh, wait, John, just this. I want you to remember, a doctor with so much power for good and for evil, son, has got to be right. Make the right decisions. You took that oath that we all take. Now mean it. In your deepest heart, mean it. Live up to it. Be a good man and you'll be a good doctor. And you, my son, you'll be a great doctor. Well, I suppose I've made quite a speech, but I didn't have to. Because I know you'll never do wrong. I lost my Joe somehow. I don't know, but you're a good son. Well, you're my life, John. My life. Get yourself a good night's sleep, son. There's a big day coming tomorrow.
Sleep? Over and over, I probed for bullets in my brother's bloody chest. Over and over, I tried to cry out to my father, "Dad, you don't know me. I'm a criminal. I've broken the law. I'm a criminal, Dad. I'm a criminal." But dreams, you cry and cry, and no words come. And soon, it was dawn. I made some excuse to Dad, something about picking up a bag. I checked, I don't know. I headed for the cabin where my brother was hiding out. was something wrong. The cabin door, it should have been shut. Locked. Instead, it was open. Joe? Joe? Frenchie? Nobody there. Torn bandages on the floor, bloodstains. I turned to go. I figured Joe'd run out on me. He didn't trust me. Joe running away again. I realized then, you see, I thought I'd be able to straighten him out. But I was wrong. Well, I walked to my car, and there was a man standing beside it with a shotgun.
You, looking for someone, Doc?
Why, no, I... How'd you know I was a doctor?
Been expecting you. I'm from the sheriff's office.
Oh, I see. How did you know?
Well, I shouldn't tell you, but seeing who you are and all, the other hoodlum spilled it all. We got them both.
Could I ask the charge?
Hmm?
I mean, I am under arrest, I guess.
Yeah, you are. As for the charge, well, illegal operation, failing to notify police and harboring a criminal.
My own brother, Sheriff.
Law don't recognize kin, Doc. Or to warn you, anything you say can be held against.
All right, let's get it over with. Take me in.
Yeah, sure, Doc.
No.
You drive.
Oh, wait. Tell me, sonny.
Mm-hmm.
Does my father know?
About you? Your brother?
About both.
Oh. Your brother? Yeah. You? No. You'll find out when we get there. Come on. Let's go, Newton.
Well, gentlemen of the board, that's my story. I assure you, I knew that I was breaking the law, but I will admit now that I did it because I owed something to my brother. And my primary intent was to make up to him in some way for the wrongs that my parents had done him, knowingly or unknowingly. I can honestly say that my primary intent was not crime.
Newton, if you are paroled, what means have you for earning a living?
Well, if I can get my license, I intend to practice medicine.
Practice medicine?
Well, yes, sir.
Well, Newton, certainly society needs physicians, but it doesn't want doctors who lack willpower, men incapable of clear judgment. Now, we can't gamble. You understand?
I know, sir. But I would like to say that I understand myself now.
How do you mean that?
Well, sir, I haven't wasted this time in prison. I think the warden will tell you I've done all kinds of work. I've worked in the hospital, for instance.
Oh.
Lately, I've been a full-time orderly.
Oh, I see. Go on.
And I resumed my medical studies.
How's that?
Well, I made up with my father, sir. And he brought me medical journals so I could keep abreast of things. All I can say is, sir, if I do receive my freedom, I'll try very hard to live up to your trust in me. Very hard. All I ask is a chance. Well, that's all I have to say.
That is all you have to say, Newton?
Yes, sir.
Well, it seems to me you've left out perhaps the one essential point on which your chances of parole might depend. What happened to your brother?
My brother?
Yes. Finish your story, Newton.
My brother died.
As a direct result of your operation. The record shows he was trailed to a downtown hotel in Los Angeles, dead on arrival.
Yes, sir.
Now, you realize he would be alive today if you'd reported the injury and he had been taken to a hospital.
Yes, sir. He'd be alive today.
All right. Just step outside a moment, Newton. With the guard.
While John Newton waits, and the parole board reviews his story and his parole file, you too have a decision to make on his case. Weigh John Newton's story carefully before you form your judgment, because in a moment, you will have an opportunity to compare your decision with that of the actual board before which he appeared. But first,
in the old days, my lord and my lady had to wait 6 months or more for the wandering troubadours to turn up with the latest ballads. Today, all you have to do is listen in on Saturday nights when Vaughn Monroe's Caravan comes along with the week's five top tunes as chosen by Variety. Vaughn brings you his great band and distinctive style of singing, not only in the five top tunes, but also in the songs of a famous college fraternity or sorority each Saturday. Be listening this Saturday, won't you?
Now, the decision of California Parole Board. Folsom, John Newton, 3375-4.
John Newton.
Yes, sir.
Step forward. This board has carefully studied your record and considered your own story. You may be sure that we have given careful consideration to all details.
Yes, sir.
I must inform you, however, that there was some doubt as to your own interpretation of your basic motives in transferring the blame for your own, well, shall we say, delinquency, upon the attitude of your parents toward your brother and yourself. And, you were informed, I believe, that decisions of this board must be unanimous, were you not?
Oh, I didn't know that. No, sir.
At any rate, we did come to an agreement, Newton. A unanimous decision.
Yes, sir.
That decision is parole granted.
Thank you, gentlemen. May I go?
Yes, you may leave. Newton. This board will make every effort to help you obtain reinstatement with the state medical board. So, good luck. Next case.
Today, Dr. John Newton may be your neighbor, your friend, your family physician, for he is currently practicing medicine in a large American city. But he himself, John Newton, M.D., though that was not, of course, his actual name, gave us permission to tell his story tonight, asked us, in fact, to do so, in the interest of thousands of men and women in American prisons who may someday come up for parole.
You have been listening to Up for Parole, transcribed in New York with Chet Stratton, written by Alan Sloan, directed by John Dietz, with music by Harry Salter. Listen again at the same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of case 3374-5, Sing Sing. Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Bloom, Molly Goldberg's famous invitation to fun in the Bronx now echoes across the country each Saturday night on CBS. It's the same fine brand of comedy mixed with a tear now and then that's made Molly and her family, Jake, Sammy, Rosalie, and the others, favorites for many years. CBS invites you to hear the Goldbergs on most of these same CBS stations this Saturday and every Saturday. Stay tuned now for Broadway Is My Beat, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations.